Hello, and welcome to the Equality, Diversity and Inclusivity podcast in conjunction with Pride Month.
My name is Alex Pearson,
and this is the final episode of the series all about why Pride is important
and an opportunity to share some of our experiences where discrimination and inequality has taken place in our lifetime.
In this episode, the panel discuss why equality, diversity and inclusivity is important to them, and share some of their experiences of discrimination and inequality they have come across inside and outside the workplace.
Okay, so shall I take that one first? Well, what means to me, and you know, I have been involved with ED&I for the last 15 years, and I always led on it. The landscape has completely changed, and the focus is changing. But you know, from professional point of view, I already covered that in my position. I want to ensure that we are inclusive business and people feel safe and they want to stay with us and they want to thrive, because we want the business to perform and we want everybody to belong. On a personal level, as you can tell, you know, by my accent, English is not my first language, and I didn't grow up in this country. So it's very close to me. And as Andrew previously said, you know, things happen in your life and it opens some doors, it closes some doors. But from my perspective, it's very, very important that equality and diversity is embedded and we get rid of the labels, and people are just being looked up and judged on their merit rather than on their backgrounds. And all of prejudice is just removed from any decision that potentially might come into it.
That means that everyone can get on without it. It's that ability that brings back the past, the indoctrination, you know, because if someone's brought up to think that gays are bad or black people you must always be racist against, then there's nothing stopping that. The good thing about the law and, you know, the protected, characteristics is that it's... As soon as you walk into that workplace or sign on and everything, whatever you think personally inside you, right, stays with you. When you walk into that workplace, you don't look upon that person as an issue or treat them as an issue. And that's for everybody right across the scale, you know, and that's why it's important. It's not about being disrespectful or in any other way. It's just treating everyone fairly and with respect. It costs nothing. It is free and it is easy. So really, all those issues you have in your home or with your friends, try and break the chain, you know. And that way, what these rules do, which have been brought down by government, you know, is to say, listen, I know we have to do this to enforce the factor, but we shouldn't have to, right? It should be a case of just stop, take a look back and go, you know what? We're all humans on this planet. So at the end of the day, the more we get on, the better it is for everybody.
So it's allowing yourself to fulfill your potential and be yourself at work. Because for many years, I like couldn't say what I felt, because I had male managers who actually said to me they hated women and hated female managers to my face. And so it's allowing us to bring our whole self to work, you know, and be who we and fulfill our potential, really.
I agree with that. I think for you know, equality, diversity and inclusivity mean to me is just being able to be yourself in every facet of life. You know, where the person you are at work is the person you are outside of work, and you know, no judgment, no discrimination, no nothing. You know, you can thrive and be the best that you can in all aspects of your life, because then, you know, we'll be much happier.
For me, it's about everybody being able to have the voice, and whatever perspective or life experience or culture that voice comes from, that voice is heard and that it's respected and isn't treated differently or disadvantaged because of the perspective that voice is coming from.
You know, one thing I would like to share with you, and that's a feedback I have received from an employee who have joined the organization. And I asked them how they were getting on, and they just smiled and said, you know what, I feel free. I feel like I can breathe. And that was the nicest piece of feedback I had, because they felt they belong to the company. And my, you know, that would be my wish for everybody to feel like that after they joined Liberty.
100%.
That would be the utopia.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And Andrew sort of spoke about quite a lot of some experiences, but does anyone else have a time where they've advocated for equality, diversity or inclusivity inside or outside the workplace?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. Advocating, I guess it's, you know, it can be seen as, you know, your day-to-day life, how you hold yourself or anything. But I've certainly attended Pride events, and, you know, I've spoken to people and been mentors to other, you know, younger people if ever asked, and certainly from a LGBT background as well. So that's always been quite rewarding. And in a previous role, three jobs ago, I think it was, company's no longer around. So yeah, pretty easy to figure out who they are. But I remember going for an interview and I was asked, you know, a similar question to this one. And, you know, can you tell us about the time, you know, when you've advocated, or, you know, do you think we're a diverse organization? And I was like, well, no, I don't. And it was very clear. And this was with the MD at the time. And I said, you can't sit here in one avenue and celebrate Pride Month in the UK because it's Pride Month and you want to do all of these wonderful things, but yet you operate in parts of the world where it's illegal and don't give people that opportunity or that voice for them to be themselves. I said, it's almost, for me, and I said it at the time, it felt hypocritical. It felt like a jumping on a bandwagon, because you can in the UK, but actually in the parts of the country where it's illegal, it's all driven by money. You know, you want to, you know, improve, you know, improve your, you know, bottom line by having businesses in these parts of the world, then that's fine. But don't sit here and tell me when I'm sat in the UK that, you know, you celebrate Pride Month and everything that it is, when you're actually one hand's doing this and the other's doing the complete different. And ultimately what it comes down to is money. And when I challenged them on it, there was no comeback. There was absolutely no comeback around the, you know, the three people who were doing the interview. And I got great feedback at the end of it, but that's not why I did it. That was just something that, you know, the business was probably aware of, but it just happened to be, you know, one of those things. Did it change anything? No, it didn't. But, you know, the fact that I stood up and opened my mouth and, you know, and said and challenged it in that environment at that time, that was the right thing to do. And that's kind of where I've done it. So, yeah.
Well, like the email I sent you, Alex, it's a tragic one, really, because it involved two friends of mine in my last workplace. And it was a big, long office. And on one end of the office was my other friend. And then in my group was my Muslim friend. And my friend and the other end was cracking a joke about a Muslim who was praying in a car park. And he was quite loud about it with the group of mainly white people down there and what have you, whereas our group was actually more inclusive. We had white, black, gay, we had everybody in our group. You name it, every mix was in our group, right? So, and whereas that group was, and he was like cracking his joke, so it was nothing. And my poor Muslim friend sat facing me and I could see the temperament. No one stood up. No one said, they're all laughing down there. No one. I was the only person who got out of my chair, stood up, shouted down the office to tell him, that's wrong. Right. And then all of a sudden, everyone's, you know, whoa. And it went its usual route. But then I was victimized for doing it. People stopped talking to me. People didn't want anything to do with me because I was the one person who did the one thing no one else would do, which was, hey, you know what? No. I know not everyone can do that, particularly in a hostile environment. It would be very, very difficult for somebody, you know, to stand up and say, that's wrong. But in life, sometimes you've got to do that to make that change, because if it wasn't for that one action, that joke and everything around it would have been the norm.
I mean, if I'll go next again, I've been talking a lot today. I have on a number of occasions, and that seriously, that comes with my position obviously, as it would be, but also on a personal level. I've got this sense of inherent fairness. I cannot stand unfairness and injustice being done to anybody, especially for, it's just not right. That does not belong into a civil society, and it certainly doesn't belong within liberty itself. When I was challenging, or when I was hoping and advocating for other people, there would be a different example. For example, I used to offer volunteering services to the police to interpret for people from the country and the languages I can't speak to ensure that they have equal to access to justice and they were able to put their points across.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Charlotte?
I just believe everyone should be encouraged to fulfil their potential through mentoring, etc. When in my past job as a working mother, I don't think we talk about that enough, how hard that is as well. I decided to go for promotion when I was 25 weeks pregnant, and everyone tried to talk me out of it, including the HR at the time. And I actually was offered the job. The other candidate appealed because I was pregnant, and he said that I wouldn't be able to fulfil the role properly. And it was a really horrible time for me because I felt I was on my own. I had no backup. And so we had to resit the interviews because of it. And I got offered the job again. So I was offered the job. It was fantastic. I was promoted. But obviously, I had maternity leave. So then I was entitled to that. Then the boss that I had then actually phoned me when my baby was 2 months pregnant, so he couldn't keep my job open. I either returned to work now or I lost the job. And being silly, because I was quite younger then, I actually returned to work when my baby was only 2 months old. And I would not want that for any other mother. And so now I am an advocate, you know, of fairness, as Simona said, everyone fairness. Just because if you're a working father, you don't get this at all. But so I've had some really hard experiences to get where I am. But luckily, I'm now in liberty, like promote fairness in everything we do, and we're encouraged to fulfill our potentials.
Oh, you know, Charlotte, that is quite powerful, and that's really hard to hear as well, that you kind of face that kind of direct discrimination, and it's just not acceptable at all. You know, from my perspective, I think I was very fortunate that I have never been held back, and the opportunities I have been afforded by Liberty and by For Viva in general were absolutely brilliant, and I can fault the company in terms of equality and diversity. I think they're doing very well. But, you know, for you to have to face that and make such a hard choice between staying home with your baby or keeping your job is just not acceptable. It's absolutely horrific.
And this is why now, now pregnancy is a protected characteristic. You know, we've come so far even since I've had children. So, society as a whole is moving forward in the right direction.
You see, I find that quite interesting because we have gone a very long way and we have these protections in place. But the way I see it, the protections are there for a reason. Because if the protections weren't there, there is an awful lot of unscrupulous employers who would exploit that. And also, you know, from my perspective, because I sometimes find it hard to juggle a full-time busy job and 2 young children, very often, you know, society leads you to believe that you can actually have it all. But the reality is that you can't. And there is a number of compromises that need to be made, which is very often very, very hard. And I think that's the reasons for those protections to exist. And I think they will need to exist for a number of years going forward.
Agreed.
Now, does anyone else have anything they'd like to add?
The only thing I'd say is for anyone listening, you know, if you want to get involved, get involved. Feel free to reach out to any of us on this podcast. But, you know, get involved. You know, change happens with everyone. So, you know, let's do it together.
And I think, you know, any ideas anybody might have out there, anybody's welcome to join our ED&I group as well. And, you know, innovation, that's the way forward. You know, more brains can pull together a bit, lot more ideas, and we don't get different perspectives from different employees who have different life experience. So working together as a group, I think we can achieve really good things.
Thank you for listening to episode 3. You can listen to all 3 episodes by heading to podbean.com and downloading the episodes. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Goodbye.